as we heard in the news, British officials contacting passengers who shared flights with a Scottish health worker. This is the first person to be diagnosed with Ebola in the UK. A second British health worker is being tested. They apparently contracted the disease while working in Sierra Leone. Now, Winnie Romerill is a spokesperson for the World Health Organization, and she joins us now from Sierra Leone for, well, an update on the situation with the disease in West Africa. Winnie, welcome.
Thank you so much.
We're getting a sense, and perhaps it's just the routine loss of interest in the news cycle, but a sense that the situation is improving with Ebola in West Africa?
Well, it really depends on where you are. There are places where the situation has improved dramatically. For example, here in Sierra Leone, Kailaun, and Kenema were the epicenters of the disease, and now there's hardly any cases there at all. In fact, healthcare workers from there are moving to the hotspot zones in the capital city of Freetown, in Port Loko, to help support health workers here in coping with the numerous cases that we're still seeing.
So we still have hotspots and the sense of some sort of urgency in those regions.
Oh, absolutely. But one big difference that we're seeing now, as opposed to the end of November, is that we finally have enough beds, we have enough labs in place, we have enough ambulances, we have enough people working on the ground in the hospitals to take care of people. But that hospital figure will change. We'll continue to need foreign medical workers to come help us staff these areas, because often internationals who come work here can only do so for a month at a time or less if their countries have restrictive quarantine rules when they arrive back home in country.
And as you say, we had a sense of absolute desperate urgency about trying to get resources around this a couple of months back. And I guess the cycle must be, as you're hinting there, that once things seem to be stabilizing, perhaps that job of attracting that resource becomes even harder.
I think it does. You know, we really have to keep the energy up and the momentum up, because we're not done yet. Ebola isn't over until every single case has been found and traced, and all of the people involved have been watched until they're past 21 days, past double that, for a country to be declared Ebola-free. And we're a long way from that point at this stage. But I think we are getting better at treating the disease. And we're able to do things that are a little more specialized. For example, one of the big concerns has been women who are pregnant and how they are treated when they're in the Ebola treatment unit, whether their children will be able to survive if they give birth at that time. And there's going to be a specialized Ebola treatment unit run by MSF that will open here later in January, that will help to address the needs of those particular special patients.
Winnie Romerill is a spokesperson for the World Health Organization. She's in Sierra Leone. Winnie, you paint a picture there of a point where countries are utterly free of Ebola. Is that either a approximate prospect, or is that a reality that can be achieved?
I think we have to believe that it's a reality that can be achieved, because if it's not, this is a situation the world will have to live with, and I don't think that any of us want to see that. We're enlisting a lot of survivors in the fight against Ebola. I met an amazing woman on Christmas Day who actually stayed in the Ebola treatment unit longer than she needed to, because her son was due to be released in a few days. So she stayed there, and she helped the people in the Ebola treatment unit take care of all the other children. She became like a surrogate mom. She would call their families and update them on their condition. And it's that kind of willingness to go the extra mile that's going to help us bring this epidemic to an end. But we really need everyone's involvement, everyone here in Sierra Leone and people throughout the world staying alert and attentive and supportive to this cause.
And I guess the thing that will also help that cause is preventative changes in cultural practices across the society.
That's certainly the case. We've been talking a lot as New Year's comes about honoring people who have died in this epidemic, and what are ways that people can remember their relatives who have died of Ebola, whether making a special meal and remembering them, whether sending text messages to the local radio stations to be read out, honoring the dead by, you know, keeping safe and deciding that you're not going to participate in funeral rituals that can lead to the further spread of the disease, for example.
So the desire must be, I guess, especially in a place like Sierra Leone, for life to return to normal, but with caveats, with change.
Oh, I don't think it feels anything like normal yet. You know, people don't embrace or shake hands. There's always distance, social distancing. And that's a very odd thing in such a warm culture where people love to dance and to smile and to hug, and all of that is just at an arm's length now. It's very hard to see people go through that. I mean, people have gotten used to it, but I think they really look forward to the day when they can get back to life as normal.
There must be great fear to bring that sort of social reserve. Winnie, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Sure. Have a good day.
Winnie Romerill, a spokesperson for World Health Organization, and she joined us this morning from Sierra Leone, where, well, the crisis may be easing, but life is, as she points out there, still far from normal.